Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Hello, it's Danny here, and I just wanted to thank you for listening to It's All Cobblers to Me and to tell you how you can help support the podcast. Every week, I badger Charles to play Name That Bench every single time or to talk about Sam Hoskins' goal at Tranmere for the whole hour, meaning editing is a lot more challenging than squeezing Richard Hope into an all-time Cobblers 11. That's why we set up our own Patreon page. For just $5 a month, that's around £4, you'll help to keep the podcast going and get your very own thank you jingle. So if you enjoy what we do and want to support us, head on over to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Now, back to the pod.
Brain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3!
Yeah!
No!
Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. It is the day after the night before and we've all made it apart from Neil, who stepped on a hedgehog and hasn't been seen since.
Wasn't it attacked by a hedgehog at this point? He's putting the bins out and he got attacked by his hedgehog. By a hedgehog were his exact words.
Oh, it's just brilliant. There's Danny. Danny's made it here. How are you feeling, mate? You okay?
Absolutely knackered, Charles. As you know, we were up till, what, 1:30 last night? This is half...
I was online until 2 a.m.
Yeah. You carried the flag right till the end of our impromptu late night. Because we didn't really imagine ourselves doing it. But then after the game, we all just like, we really wanted to talk about it. So we're like, oh, post-match Facebook Live? Yeah, go on, let's do it. And because obviously everyone's at home, it made sense. And there's a lot of people wanted to join us. And we just kept going and going and going. And it was pretty awesome. I mean, what a night.
I love the way that... Literally, we just sort of, after we'd all had a bit of, I don't know about you guys, but I was jumping up and down, running around the living room, you know, proper like t-shirt over my head moment, Klinsmann diving onto the sofa, you name it, I did the celebration. It was a bit like David Buchanan scoring at Rochdale. and literally, we all just turned around to each other on the WhatsApp group and just went, pod?
Yeah.
How about you, Chessie? How are you feeling?
Oh, my God.
You were at work this morning.
I left my house at like just after 6 this morning. Oh gosh, I'm shattered, but worth every minute of it, I think. I can't really see at the moment. So tired. The only thing I can see, I'm looking out my dining room window and I can see that gorgeous looking cobbler's flag flying high in the sky, and that is enough for me at this point. I'm deliriously tired, I think, Charles.
Yeah, I think we all are, in fairness. I mean, I don't really know where to start. It was just the most ridiculous of games, wasn't it? I've never seen us play like that this season. We were just unstoppable.
I don't think we.
It was ridiculous.
I don't think we played like that for many a season. Honestly, it's wild a standard in terms of the energy and the effort and the overpoweringness of us. That it's not been seen since then. I've definitely not seen us play that well since 2016. Not even close.
No, I don't. The thing was, I mean, I know we did our preview show live on Facebook beforehand, which went really well as well. Thank you very much for joining us if you managed to. Considering that there was no build-up at all on Sky because of the fact that the other semi-final went to extra time, didn't it? Exeter and Colchester. There wasn't any build-up to our game whatsoever, apart from a couple of... Well, it was just the Keith Curl and Michael Duff interviews, weren't they, that they put together. And that was it. So the only real place to get any proper, full-on, you know, preview build-up was our Facebook Live, which I thought went really well. So thanks very much for joining us. It was great to have you there. I mean, even on that, I know we were quite positive, and I think we even had the conversation, didn't we, that, you know, it's building up towards kickoff, so the optimism is starting to come back. But I still didn't expect that to happen. I think before the game, we were sort of going, yes, we were getting more optimistic as the closer it got to kickoff, but I still half expected us to win just 1-0 and not make it to Wembley.
I mean, I was utterly gobsmacked, I mean, through the whole entire game. But as you got further and further through it, it was almost even more surreal watching it. Because like Danny said, we've never seen them play that. We've never seen that set of players play like that ever. They played out their skins. And we've never seen anything like that from a Northampton Town team since Wilder. And actually, I was thinking about it on the way home, and I think Danny is right. It was very Wilder-esque. However, the urgency and the manner in which we went about it was almost... I can't recall a single game ever, being a Cobblers fan, that it was quite like that. It was just relentless from minute one to minute 97, as it were. How they got 7 minutes of injury time, I have no idea. I mean, that was agony, but it was, wasn't it? But the weird thing is as well that before the game, it was like, oh, do you know what? We've probably not got this, so let's just relax and watch it. And it's the weirdest thing to say that in a playoff semi-final, until obviously the obvious, you know, 6 or 7 minutes before 90 minutes, you're always under the cosh, aren't you? But actually, I would say for a good 83, 84 minutes, I actually really thoroughly enjoyed watching that game and didn't worry about watching that game because it was just a joy to watch. Every single player, yeah, every player put everything onto that, and they just left their heart on the pitch, and that is everything and more I expect of a player.
That was it though, wasn't it? It was the fact that it was actually enjoyable to watch. I mean, I'm used to watching the Cobblers through, you know, sort of fingers, you know, up against my eyes and you know, chewing through my fingernails and just constantly not being able to sit still because I'm so nervous and I'm, you know, up and down every time we have a chance or when the opposition have a chance or whatever. And, you know, for the first sort of 5 minutes, I think the easiest way to describe it is that I started off. So the kickoff whistle, what's that called?
Kick off.
Well, no, I was thinking to myself, you say the final whistle, don't you? So it's the first whistle.
That's complete.
So from kickoff, the moment the referee, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm so tired. But from kickoff, I was sat on my sofa. I was back in my seat. You know, I was sort of quite relaxed. I think I even had my legs crossed. You know, I was just there, had a beer next to me, and I was just going to sit there and watch a football match. After the first 5 minutes, I just suddenly found myself on the edge of my seat, leaning forward, closer, trying to get closer to the telly and closer to the action. And I literally stayed there until the drinks break, which was needed as for different kind of breaks. Was it you, Danny, that said you'd been waiting, waiting for that drink to break?
I just felt so old because I'm like, all these matches now you watch one on TV and you think, oh, just come on, need that drinks break now so I can go to the toilet. Just completely showing my age. But I got nervous as soon as Verdane scored because up until that point you're thinking, you know, like I was exactly the same as you, Charles, just sat back, just relaxing, just enjoying what I thought was going to be our last game of the season. As soon as Verdane scored, there's something on it, and you think, oh,
they're
giving us something to grab onto. And that's like, and if you don't win the match, that's sometimes worse than just getting hammered. Like sometimes you just prefer to get hammered 5-0 than to win the game 1-0 and come so close. But it just felt every bit of momentum was with us from that first goal. And once they gave us that bit of hope, I just did not sit down for the whole 90 minutes.
I think you're right as well, Danny. It was that bit of hope I actually said to Dawn when that first goal went in. I was like, Dawn, why do they give us so much hope? Because there was still quite a lot of me, like 90% of me, that was like, oh, we're still going out. But I was like, why have they given us this hope so early on? And then obviously it just carried on. And it turned into what we all know it was. But it was the most ridiculous thing because I don't think anybody expected it. Some of the optimistic amongst us would have said, oh, we'll do it. I don't think anyone expected us to do it like that.
My dad sent me a message today and part of me wanted to just tell him to go away. He basically just put on here saying, I still can't believe we won. This was at 10-5 on what day is it? Tuesday.
Yeah, it is Tuesday.
And he replied, "Oh ye of I've been like that all day, Daddy." And he replied, "Oh ye of little faith." And I was just like, "I've come off of it." Only a very small group of eternal optimists ever thought that we'd overturn that first leg. And he just put, "But that very small group included me." Just thought, "Oh, go away."
It was the way that first leg went, though, as well, wasn't it? The fact that they were so much better than us in that first leg that it gave you. Surely no one could have actually predicted that we're going to turn that around because there were such a high level above us. And you thought that we're going back there. They've got all these stats about their defence that they conceded 17 at home all season or something. And they're the second best defence in the whole country behind Liverpool. No one's ever overturned two teams actually?
Covered
a 2-0 deficit. On the first leg, all these stats start to get thrown up, and you're thinking, that's just, you know, I'd like to be the one that says, yeah, we're going to win 3-0, we're going to win 3-1. I predicted a 3-1 win.
I'd love it if we beat
them. Exactly. But in the back of your mind, you think, you never expect it, especially with us. And like, even right to the end, I was expecting them to get one and take it to extra time. But, oh, man.
Special shout out to all the real pessimists who have now turned around and are now just having to justify why they're so pessimistic. In fairness, I'll say this. So I saw a great little tweet from Ian Townsend where he was basically saying, look, I hold my hands up. You know, I didn't think that this would happen kind of thing. And he was saying essentially, but, you know, come on, as if any of us could have predicted that was going to happen. We've not seen this squad do that in that sort of, have that sort of game all season for a full 90 minutes. And I do agree with him. And I see his point. His point is that, you know, regardless of
the fact that it's happened, nobody could have seen that that was going to come based on what we've watched all season. And what we've watched all season, in his point, in Ian's opinion, is dross and isn't entertaining for him. And that is absolutely fine. But I did see a couple of other people who I won't name because I don't think that's very fair, but I saw a couple of other posts on social media where people were just basically turning around and saying, yeah, but it's still been a rubbish season. And you're just like that going, it's not even been 24 hours.
No.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it. You have to, as a Cobblers fan, I learned very quickly, mainly because we were rubbish, but I learned very quickly that you have to absolutely drink in every single bit of nights like last night, because actually we could be sat here now absolutely reveling in the fact that we've just slaughtered Cheltenham in the playoff semi-finals. We could go and lose 5-0 to Exeter next week at Wembley with a massive crash back down to earth. Frankly, I couldn't care less at this moment in time, because we have to enjoy and savour these ridiculous moments, because we do get very quick and very difficult reality checks as Cobblers fans. And I think we're fully entitled to revel in this completely just for a couple of days. And I'm quite happy to.
Right. Yeah, I know we talked a lot on the after match show. Is that what we're calling it?
Post-match.
Impromptu jump on Facebook Live thing. Literally the first thing we did, we were talking about who our man of the match were. Chessie, you've already said that, you know, everyone to a man was just exceptional. But is there one man that you can pick out?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder who that could be, guys. Begins with an A.
Ashley.
Alan. No, do you know what? Actually, I think he did boss it in midfield, Alan McCormack. I think he really did hold that midfield beautifully together. I mean, we had a midfield, which was quite exceptional. But I do think that it would be quite harsh and unfair to single one person out, because that team, I mean, Michael Harriman, what a game he had. I mean, what was he doing up there, by the way? Exactly. It was another one of those moments. I mean, he was just running and running and running. But then you had Hoskins, who bought the shape. You had Verdane, who just won. I think he won all but one header the whole match. I mean, Morton, frankly, is a magician. The list goes on and on and on. It just, every single player knew what they were doing. And I know Keith Clell goes on about this all the time, but the roles and responsibilities, they knew what they were doing and they were set up for it, and it worked perfectly. So I think it would be so harsh to pick one out, but I mean, Alan is my favourite human ever on the planet at the moment. So I mean, I have to say Alan McCormack.
Keith Curl said that he showed the players the Arsenal-Liverpool documentary from 1989,
yeah.
Where Arsenal had to beat Liverpool 2-0 to claim the First Division title. There's also, this wasn't official from what I can see, but there are people saying that he also showed the wins that we had against Liverpool and the 1998 playoff semi-final Bristol Rovers game. I mean, can you sort of see that's had an impact, Danny? Do you think actually, what if you'd have watched that beforehand, would that have made you go out and be a better player?
Yeah, I think it's psychological, isn't it? As well as, I think I can kind of see where Kel was getting at with that one, because Liverpool just didn't concede goals at home. That was one of the big things at that point. They didn't lose games at home. They definitely didn't concede two goals at home, and Arsenal needed to go and beat them by a two-goal margin. It was exactly what we needed to do. It was up against a team that also don't usually concede many goals at home, don't concede many goals at all. So I do get where Kel was coming from with that. And I mean, it's got to inspire him, hasn't it? I mean, and he's got his ways about him, Keith Curl, and he's got ways about him that you only hear about afterwards, that I think he does a lot of that kind of thing that we don't hear about. And because the players seem to really respond to him. And you know, I'm not going to come out and say bad things about him, but I do think he's got these little subtle ways about him that we just don't hear of. And that's another masterstroke from him. Mm. I don't want to say that was a masterstroke from
Don't
Keith Carl, but
don't say it. Just leave
but it.
It
was Carl Ball. It's
before the match.
I think it's very important to give credit where it's due. Like Danny said, I think Keith Curl did an excellent job with whatever he did. How on earth he got those players doing what they did yesterday, I will never know. And frankly, I think it's just outstanding. But I think regardless of what happens on Monday, and the realist in me, you know, we've got a shot, but we've all, you know, it's, the playoffs finals is effectively a lottery, and even more so at the moment. But I think as a manager and the recognition he needs for what he's done with this squad during this, and we've talked about this before, during this global pandemic and everything and the mentality that he set up, and then to go one step further and be able to turn around a deficit in such a manner just shows us as fans what Curl's all about. And a bit like what Danny was saying in terms of his ability to really do some of those subtle things that help players along the way. Now, I actually was thinking about it on the way to work this morning. I was thinking all sorts of things on the way to work because I'd had 4 hours sleep. But I actually thought to myself, do you know what? I wonder whether losing 2-0 was probably the best thing that happened to that group of players, because mentally, they are a very strong unit and they are characters. And the recruitment of players that Keith Curl bought in this season, regardless of whether we go up or not, but for the job that he has done and what we were able to do last night is exceptional. And I think it's down to what he brings as a manager to this club.
This is his Anfield moment, isn't it? This is his moment in Cobblers history that won't be taken away. It's his Bristol Rovers, it's his Anfield. And I do think we should be seeing this as a one game thing where he is written into Cobblers folklore now. And a lot of people will be uncomfortable with putting Keith Curl in that kind of position. But this is one of the best performances we've ever seen, honestly, in my lifetime. And it can be compared to a lot of the greatest nights. It's not quite up there with Bristol Rovers because of certain things we talked about last night. But I do think he deserves a whole lot of credit. And to have that place in our history now for masterminding that. And I think Chester's right. It did give us that impetus being 2-0 down. It gave us more of an impetus to actually just go all balls out to go and win it. There was nothing to lose. But for him to get that reaction, it was incredible. I'm still in shock.
I think one of the things that I love, actually, and I know that this will be a little bit controversial in a way, but I love how cool and calm Keith Curl was in the, you know, the days in between the first and second leg, because he was just very much down to business, wasn't he? You saw in his pre-match interviews with Sky, he basically just said, look, we've got to win. It's not over. He was very much just, this is business. And it's, you know, yes, we're 2-0 down, but we know as a club this season how fragile a 2-0 lead can be. You know, this tie isn't over. There's still one half of it to go. And we're going to do everything we can to win it. And in comparison to, I'm not comparing him directly to Michael Duff. I'm just saying in comparison to other managers, he is very, very
level-headed, isn't he?
Almost level-headed. I was going to say monotone in a way, not in the way that he actually talks, but you know, in his thinking and in the way that he puts his points out. Mm. We've all said, Cobblers fans, since he joined us, it's the same sound bites all the time from him, more or less, and that gets on people's nerves. But actually, in a way, I think that's because Curl obviously just he does his business on the training ground. He's not bothered about, you know, he goes out there and does the media stuff because it's his job, part of his job, but that's not the important bit of his job. And of course, what did people want him to do after that first leg? Did people want him to come out and just say, oh, well, we've cocked it up and, you know, these players, you know, do a Dean Austin and basically say these players aren't good enough, they're rubbish. we've seen before that that doesn't always work. So him actually just going and saying, look, it's only half time, blah, 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 I thought was really, really good. Would I be saying that if we'd have, you know, lost last night? I don't know. I don't think it would even be registering on my list of things to talk about. But for some reason, that has really stuck with me. How cool, how calm he was in the, 4 days in between the games?
I think it comes down to that club thing that we've had for a few years, isn't it? I know when Kelvin Thomas took over in 2016, he said, under promise and over deliver, if that makes sense. And that's quite a key thing that I think the club have not really lost sight of, mainly because we've struggled, but also because we haven't let ourselves get ahead of the game or get ahead of ourselves and be in these dizzy heights and think we're going to win leagues left, right and centre. We knew what we were getting when we recruited Keith Curl, and I think it was a really good bit of recruitment because he knew the leagues and he knew how to handle the club and the way it was at that stage. And regardless of whether fans like him or not, he is proven to be successful in that area. We needed stability and we needed the ability to stabilise the club at a really tricky time. And we did that. And he did that. And the thing with him and his that expectation that you talk about, Charles, it's that he is a realist. He tells it like he is. And he knows from experience how to keep the fans just bubbling away. Not to make some really unrealistic thing like come out and do a Gary Johnson and say, we're going to win 5-0 or whatever. Because it's just not going to happen, is it? It's not realistic. He's just
under Gary Johnson.
Said, this isn't Ole. Well, I mean, nothing's possible with Gary Johnson. But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's not one of these big characters. But like you said, he does the job. And actually, I really couldn't care less what sort of person or what sort of media man Keith Curl is. I care about what he brings to my football club. And I care about the fact that my players for my team wear the shirt with pride, and we haven't had that for 4 years.
I think the issue for a lot of people is that you know everybody's the same. You know the results and the performances are what matter. It's not about the way that you do the media. But as we all know, we all still say things like "we go again," and at the end of the day, we're taking the piss out of Rob Page. You know that is what we're doing. We're taking the mick. So the way that a manager is and appears and puts himself out there in the media will always be something that football fans will actually gauge them and form an opinion around. Look, I don't want to keep going on about Keith Curl in this respect.
I do because he's a legend. I love him.
Well, we've got to talk about the actual game, Chessie.
I mean, it's not finished yet.
I love the fact that through the whole build-up, he kept saying, "We all know 2-0 is a difficult lead to defend, don't we, lads?"
Funny that. Funny, Keith. I wonder why.
Well, Danny, I asked Chessie before about, you know, whether there was a particular player that stood out for her. Was there one for you?
Yeah, Callum Morton, just honestly one of the best individual performances I've ever seen. I think I am going that high on that. He just didn't stop from start to finish. He was constantly, even if he didn't score the goals, he'd be standing out for me. But I honestly think he's going to be a star. He's got everything about him that's going to make it. But I think people underestimate him because of his build sometimes, that he's not particularly strong, but he is. He's got that power as well and that strength, and he's got his pace is ridiculous. Like, he was in the 70th minute just going from chasing lost causes that then turned into a chance. Yeah. He's got everything in his locker at 20. And honestly, if we go up, I would like to sign him. If we stay down, we won't, because he'll be playing at least League One next season. I'm absolutely sure of it. And I just think that was one heck of a performance. I mean, Ginger Pele, what more do you need to say?
Yeah, that's his new name, isn't it? We have to call him that now.
I just think that there were so many players that stood out. I'm in agreement. I want to make Special mention for Verdane.
Yeah.
Oh, Verdane.
Verdane,
what a legend.
he didn't lose, as I think, Jesse, you said earlier, he didn't lose a header. He didn't lose a battle in the air.
Can I just interject with that, though? That the header that he lost, I think it was a free kick. Because
I don't care what header he lost.
No, but what I'm saying is he wouldn't have lost it if it was fair. Does that make sense?
No, shut up.
But from the start, he won the header straight away, and from that moment, the defenders were absolutely scared of him, and he's put his intentions.
The thing that I don't get is how he was a different player.
It was the addition of Hoskins. It was Hoskins. I'm sorry.
Rubbish.
I know people say it, but it was because the shape
Hoskins
was totally...
Hoskins didn't make him win a header.
No, I'm not saying
Hoskins
that.
Hoskins didn't make him jump higher.
But having him there gave him the confidence to nod it down.
No, I'm not saying that, but the shape and the way they were set up was totally... The formation was totally different with Hoskins in there.
The sheer presence of Sam Hoskins will make anyone play like that.
Also... Can we just shout out Neil, since he's not here, for absolutely slaughtering me for saying that you shouldn't drop Ollie Inca and you should drop McCormack instead? I'm sorry. Look what happened.
Yeah, fair enough.
Humble pie, Neil. Humble pie.
The other player that I want to make a mention or give a mention to is Michael Harriman.
Oh, yes, what a man.
Because he just didn't stop harrying... pushing, harrying Harriman. He didn't stop, and he's a really good defender. And I think that's the first time this season that I've seen him actually, you know, having command of the entire wing, if that makes sense. So didn't matter whether he was at the back or whether he's at the top of the pitch in an attacking sense, he was in control of that entire right hand side. The thing that I didn't quite understand, I saw Nicky Adams moved about from left to right an awful lot. Was he switching with Harriman? Or was Nicky just actually being, you know, kind of, I'm just going to go wherever I can get the ball?
I think we bossed that midfield so much that we physically could have gone anywhere and done anything and it would have scared Cheltenham. So I think Nicky just played... almost to the style that he used to play in 2016, because we had so much freedom on the ball. We said something like 5% of the play was Cheltenham's end. So actually, we bossed it all night, and I think that gave Nicky the freedom, and he kind of just run riot.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I will say that I think that there were times when I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because I kept thinking, in a minute, Cheltenham are going to get back into this. And they just didn't. Mm-hmm. You know how, like, normally in a match, Danny, you'll have spells when you're on top. It might be 5 or 10 minutes, but then the opposition will then have a spell. That just never really came for Cheltenham, did it?
Didn't at all. Like, you always say, oh, we want to score while we're on top. And we're on top a lot. We did score. Then you go, well, we need to score again before half time. But because the halftime might change it, the drinks break might change it, but nothing changed the momentum at all. And if I was watching as a neutral, I'd be thinking, they've got it. They've got this game. But obviously, as a Cobblers fan, you're thinking, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then, who was it at the end? Or was it Martin at the end? He's just 96th minute. He's just, instead of hoofing the ball down the pitch,
he booted it
into the car park. And you're like, oh, you just give him Bentoza another long throw to launch
him.
Yeah,
that's what I was just like,
oh, guys. But,
I think it's really important to point out as well, because we're sitting here saying, you know, Cheltenham were never really in it. They were not at all. We had that very small window of pressure at the very end where that ridiculous 7 minutes came. I don't know where it came from, but it was ridiculous. But it's really important to point out that, one, and most importantly, our defence dealt with that pressure really well. But secondly, in terms of Cheltenham's play, it wasn't thought through. It was panicked. Mm-hmm. It was rapid. There was no thought to the pressure. It was... you know, get it in the penalty area and just hope for the best. Whereas everything that we did was thought and measured, and that was the big difference.
Are you not? Is that not just exactly what we were doing in the first leg?
Yeah.
It was complete role reversal. Mm. Cheltenham had a game plan in the first leg and it played well, played out for them, and they did it to a T. And we resorted to Charlie Good basically launching it into the box at every single opportunity. Mm. But never going, you know, it was always aimless. It was, you know, okay, you're aiming for the box, but that was it. That was essentially what was happening for Cheltenham this time around. I think the only time when I got a little bit worried was when Adai came on and he definitely had the better down the left-hand side. I can't remember whether, did Nicky come off after Adai had come on to the pitch and we were replaced by Joe Martin?
Yeah, so. It's all a blur.
It definitely was a case of, you know, Nicky had left his blinking spleen out on the pitch. he was gone. You know, there was no way. You turn around and ask Nicky Adams to go and do a warm down. He'd have been like that, going fingers up in the air and just going, just give me a cocktail, boss. I'm not moving. I can't. Give me an ice pack and a margarita. And that's me done. But I mean, the fact was that, you know, Joe Martin came on and I did, there was a bit of me that went, oh, but he did all right against Adai and, you know, he didn't nullify him completely, but he did shore it up because at the end of the day, Nicky Adams wasn't going to be able to do anything to stop Adai running past him on the basis that Nicky was knackered.
I think you're very right in what you say about Martin, but that also rings true for the Ollie Inca sub. Ollie Inca obviously is a really young player. He's a brilliant player, but he came in and, you know, we weren't under any pressure at all. But the mentality starts to creep in, doesn't it? That they know they've not got long left. And he came on at a very pivotal time in the match. And although he didn't have complete control, he did handle it very well because what he did was play off the other players who had really relaxed into the game. So I think that's what happened with Ollie Inca and Martin as well. I think that actually the subs were pretty good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I really would. So, on to Wembley.
Wembers.
I'm scared.
Yeah, we're not doing a preview or anything like that. It's too far ahead. But, you know, just initial reactions. We're facing Exeter. We won one, lost one?
Yeah.
One and drawn.
No, we beat them.
One and drawn.
We beat them at home. Lost away.
We drew away.
No, we lost away, didn't we?
But wasn't it that game, Chessie?
Oh, no, we lost.
You were there.
We lost. You actually came on the pod saying that it was the worst game you'd ever seen us play.
I were fuming. I can categorically say I didn't because I had norovirus and was hanging the next day. Do you not remember? I texted you.
Was the game. That was the game that you were fuming about.
Yeah, because I remember.
I got norovirus the next day.
What's that got to do with it? You were fuming about how bad we were.
I wasn't on the pod.
I remember us thinking by the commentary, we were all like, the commentary didn't make it sound too bad, and you were gone.
I was absolutely fuming. I was fuming.
You were.
But then the home game,
the home game, we bossed it.
Yeah, and Exeter, quite a possession-based team, and they pass it out from the back. They do that thing where the defender gets the ball and they start passing it around and stuff. And I felt like we had a handle on them at home. But yeah,
anything is possible either way. But, you know, I think we need to take it a little bit of a step at a time and just take it for what it is 24 hours after winning the semi-final. We're at Wembley for the first time in a long time. And actually, from a very cynical point of view, I would like Northampton Town not to embarrass themselves at Wembley this time.
That'd be nice,
now, if we lose 1-0 and play out our skins like we did last night, then I'm okay with that. Because if they leave everything on the pitch to the point that where they have nothing else to give and they're just simply not good enough, I'll take that. But we've got to play, and we've got to play like we did last night. Because to earn respect and to earn that kind of appreciation from fans, you have to show them there's nothing else you can do. And if there's nothing else you can do apart from lose to Exeter, then I'm okay with that because we're not good enough. But if you're going to do that, you have to be exceptional and you have to play to your absolute limit. And that's all I ask of anyone in my team at Wembley. Just play everything you can. Walk off there with no legs if you have to, but do it and do it the best you can. And if we lose, we lose. There's nothing we can do. But you have to play as if your life depends on it at Wembley.
Do you know, all that I'm bothered about right now is the fact that we managed to overturn a 2-0 defeat and we won 3-0 to go through 3-2 on aggregate. I am so happy. I'm amazing. So tired. I'm so hungover. I mean, it was...
Can I just?
It was just to mention one of the best days ever.
While we're going back to that quickly, can I just mention Chris? This was a guy on Twitter who I think it was Sarah who tweeted out. This is Chris from the multi-disabled team. He's deaf and he's got cerebral palsy. But the video of him celebrating was like I was tearing up literally because that's football in a minute, and that's what it means to people. And I think we were all in a similar position last night, just jumping around. Like leaping on the floor and everything. It's just, and that video just summed everything up to me.
Yeah, it certainly does. It was an absolute amazing. I mean, I think when we scored the third, I went live on Twitter, just accidentally pressed.
Yeah, you did. I saw that. It was upside down.
I just kind of went, doing this in for a penny, in for a pound kind of thing. And just started jumping up and down and screaming. I wasn't meaning to do that at all. I think I was actually meaning to come onto our WhatsApp group and do it. But hey-ho, Twitter it was. And exactly the same thing again happened at full time. And I just that feeling that football can give you, and that, you know, no, you'll not get that feeling from any other club other than your own.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You can watch, I don't know, Liverpool win the Champions League. You can watch Man City win the Premier League for the first time, you know, back, what was that, sort of 7 years ago or something, or whatever it was. You know, great occasions and big occasions in, you know, English football, but you don't get the same feeling unless it's your team. That's the only time that you will get something like that. And it was just bloody marvellous.
I think it's so important as well to note all the sort of, you know, world we're living in at the moment, which we highlight quite a lot. But what you have to remember, and I talked about this the other day actually on my Twitter feed, and football especially as a sport gets a lot of flack and has done for many, many years, and we've been without it now as fans for 4 months. But what people who don't follow football and don't feel like we feel about our clubs don't realize is that there are some people out there that football is the only lifeline they have in their lives, and that joy that football gives people is never matched. And the feeling that we had last night and we're feeling today is something that might lift somebody that really, really needs it. And that's so important. So sport gets a real bad name, especially football as well. So it's very important.
Yeah, I agree with that. Right. The only thing that I think we've really got left that I wanted to mention anyway was I wanted to say a big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, especially to Craig West.
Yes.
Who, after being a little bit bullied last night on the Facebook Live, did indeed up his pledge on Patreon. Thank you, Craig.
That's, it might have been during the night that it was... It might have been something.
It was one of the. It might have been, what, on my fifth gin or something like that, and I just turned around and just went, come on. Craig, you should be upping your offer, upping your pledge or whatever. And he has done, in fairness to him. You know, we've done all of this because it's been absolutely, you know, great. It's been really fun doing it. But, you know, all of us have got day jobs that we've had to make some form of sacrifice for over the last couple of, well, weeks, I suppose, with regards to doing the pod and doing all the live stuff. So this now sounds like a Bob Geldof, you know, thing, charity campaign now, but it's not. I'm just trying to say that, you know, it's great and we love doing it, and we love the fact that you have listened to the pod or you've tuned in and watched this on either the Zoom pre-match build up to leg one. We're never doing Zoom again, by the way, because we lost, so it was clearly Zoom's fault. And the Facebook ones that were just we thought went really well and went a lot better. We had a lot more interaction with you guys watching. So thank you for supporting us with that. If you think that it's worth giving £1.50 minimum, I think that's what $2 is worth these days. If you think it's worth £1.50 a month, then please go and have a look at our Patreon. You'll find all the information about it over on our website, cobblerstome.com/Patreon. And, you know, you'd just be helping support us to continue doing more of these events. And, you know, hopefully we'll then be able to bring you more sort of stuff. And if you do sign up, then you'll get lots of extra content as well. So thank you very much. If you can go and do that, that's marvellous.
Before we go, is this a very apt time to point out that when we did the wonderful Patreon Q&A with Nicky Adams, he sat and went, oh, Cheltenham's a dreadful place to go.
Yes.
He did. You're right.
He did. So if you want content like that, yeah.
I mean,
we want content like that.
It's going to be worth it to watch the Ryan Cresswell, Jason Taylor video, that, right? And that's coming up
that
in the next few
brilliant.
Weeks.
Yeah.
That's going to be worth the entrance fee alone.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, and anybody that's waiting for that pod, by the way, to drop, anybody that's waiting for Ryan Cresswell and Jason Taylor's podcast interview, you're going to have to wait at least another week, I'm afraid.
And I tell you what, it's worth every
after
minute
after the end of the season. It's after the end of the season, minute. It will be out. We're not going to release it until the season's over for the Cobblers, but it's well worth it.
We're going to be on Facebook Live before the final round in some form or another.
Yes, yeah. So yeah. Do stay tuned for that.
Thanks, Keith Curl, and thanks, Cobblers Squad. You utter legends.
Yeah, this is for everyone at the club, I think. This whole night is for everyone at the clubs that's been working these last few months. Ticket office, club staff, people in the office. It's not just people on the pitch. And you can tell we're a united club, and this is for everyone and all of us. So enjoy this week. Just don't start complaining or analysing Exeter. Let's just enjoy it.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's All Cobblers to Me is a Vibrant Sound Media production. I mean, I can't, there's nothing else to say apart from we're going to bloody Wembley.
Wembley, come on. Bye, Ash.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblerstome.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.